Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Morning Motivation Podcast, live on Blog Talk Radio. 15 minutes of hot breakfast for your soul. I am Evangelist Wassey Williams, here with you Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern, tackling life's everyday issues with biblical perspective, with a new topic, life prayer, and assigning you a daily task. Tune in live with me by calling 323-870-4180. Well, our topic for today is, are you working your career or is your career working you? Are you working your career or is your career working you? And we remain in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, as we are putting together our vision statement or New Year's resolution. While you're getting your Bibles ready, I remind you that if you miss Morning Motivation Live, you can hear the recording anytime after 8 a.m. Eastern on my website at feelthefire.com or by following me on Facebook at Rossi Williams. That's R-A-W-S-I. You can also learn more about me, see video sermons, and hear prior Morning Motivation podcast on the website at feelthefire.com. That's F-E-E-L-D-F-I-R-E.com. I am in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, reading from the KJV. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he, meaning God, will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, or your future is yet for an appointed time, or your purpose, or your destiny, what it is that you are to accomplish, is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. In other words, it shall come forth. It shall manifest and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, in other words, forever, if you write the vision down. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You shall write the vision. You shall set forth the vision, is what this word is telling us. You shall put the plan into action, and then you shall operate in it by faith. Come on and praise the Lord for the reading of his word. What is our topic today? Are you working your career, or is your career working you? Today, we are still focusing on how to actually write out your vision statement or your New Year's resolution. And today's segment pertains to the professional or the career segment of your vision statement. We have dealt with the spiritual segment. We've dealt with relationships. You know, and I taught you on prioritizing family and friends, sex, lies, and videotapes parts 1 and 2. We have dealt with the financial, chasing paper, how to get and keep your money right in 2018, parts 1 and 2. And now we're dealing with the professional, because I taught you that there are 5 components which must be included in your New Year's resolution. Spiritual, come on, say them with me. What are the next ones? Relational, which includes your family. Financial, and then professional and career, which we're dealing with today. And finally, health and recreation. And what we're doing at this point is we're brainstorming each of these areas to help you figure out what you're supposed to be doing and what you're not supposed to be doing, so that on next week, as we're coming up to the last week of the year, we're actually going to put all of this together, and you're going to come up with your New Year's resolution from this, and then you're going to put action steps into place, no more than 3 to 5 bullets for each area, and you're going to break those down into the quarters of next year. For example, January through March, what are you going to do? And I'm going to show you how to do all of that. So now we're talking about your profession or your career. You know, the first question that you have to answer here is, do I have a profession or career? Do I have a profession or career? Now, if you are retired, you could answer yes, but you still got to work through these questions because it does you no good to just take all 50, 70, 80 years of your life. But, you know, most people retire somewhere between 55 and 65, right? So you have about 30 to 40 years of working years of your life. It does you no good to take all of those 30 to 40 years to just be going from place to place, job to job, without ever establishing a career, something that is progressively, or a trade, something that is progressively building you up professionally and financially so that you are able to live your best life now. So do you have one? For instance, I am a registered nurse and an attorney. I was a registered nurse for, you know, over a decade before I became an attorney. So first question, do you have a career or profession? And these questions you need to be writing down. If you didn't write them down there or don't have a pen and paper, go back and re-listen after 8 a.m. to Field the Fire on fieldthefire.com. Number two, if not, why not? And let me say, if you do have the career profession, or you were able to answer yes, make sure you're sharing this with your spouse, your friends, your grown children, because they should be able to answer these questions as well. If not, why not? Is it because maybe you had to quit school due to some other circumstance in your life? Maybe you had to take care of your siblings growing up. Maybe you had a child very young. Maybe there weren't opportunities for you. So let's deal with this, and you deal with this truthfully. These are questions you're answering for yourself between you and the Lord. You don't have to make up a lie. Just tell the truth. If not, why not? Maybe I didn't want anything better. Maybe I didn't know to want anything better. Maybe I was rebellious. Maybe people tried to help me, but I wouldn't listen. But you got to answer truthfully to be able to fix this in 2018, okay? So if not, why not? Next question, number three. Am I doing what I love? Oh, that's a good one. Because, see, you could have a career or a trade or a profession and not be doing what you love. And that in itself is sad, because why do you want to spend 30 or 40 years of your life doing something you hate? This is how people end up disgruntled. This is how they end up being subpar performers on the job, because they hate going to the job every day. And they can't find their place. So number four, if not, why not? So maybe you do have a profession or a career, or even maybe you're retired. But in all of that, you never did what you really wanted to be doing in your life. And maybe it was because you had bills to pay and this paid the bills. Maybe it's because you ended up going through a divorce. Maybe it's because this was the only thing that was there for you. You know, if you live in a rural area like I did growing up, about the only thing that was there for us was nursing or becoming a teacher, and the pay was extremely low. But the cost of living where I grew up in Alabama was very low as well. But you got to deal with this. Number five, and this is a great one. If I could be doing exactly what I loved, what would that be? If I could be doing exactly what I love, this is helping you to know if you're working your career or if your career is working you, what would that be? I want you to answer truthfully, even if it sounds ludicrous, you know, even if it sounds like something you or someone has told you could never accomplish, you write it down. Many years ago, you know, I joined the military straight out of high school at the age of 17. I didn't join the military because I wanted to be a veteran or to serve. I joined because all of my older cousins, who are like brothers, were in the military, and they had nice cars and stereos. So I wanted a nice car and a stereo. And to get away from my small town, that's why I joined. Well, while I was in the ex-military, my cousin, who was a nurse recruiter, made me aware of the Green to Gold scholarship. And so I went through the process of that, and the Army awarded me a Green to Gold, which is where you become an officer. And my cousin, Lord, I love him. He was a nurse recruiter in Montgomery. So part of the process was you selecting a university. And the Army had a special kind of Green to Gold, which would allow you to go to an HBCU. And what's crazy is I had never heard the term HBCU, Historically Black College and University, although I lived in Alabama. So my cousin was stationed in Montgomery, and he had me come down and visit, and he took me or told me about Tuskegee. So I went to visit Tuskegee, and I was just in awe. All my life, I'd never had an African-American teacher. Growing up from elementary to high school, I never had one black teacher in my whole school system. So going to Tuskegee was just, you know, like going to a different world for me, seeing all of these positive black or African-American young males and females. Not that we didn't have positive people where I grew up, but again, none of us, my siblings didn't have a black teacher. None of us had that. So I enrolled at Tuskegee University, and I became a registered nurse. Now, a nursing career is great. You can make great money. And I excelled through the ranks very quickly. In my 20s, I was a director of nursing. I was the youngest director of nursing in the whole corporation of those nursing homes with the highest paid. However, that I always still felt like something missing, you know, because although I did well at clinical nursing and although I excelled into the ranks, my personality at my core, I was more of an entrepreneur, more of a leader, more of someone who would teach others and who wanted to, you know, live by my own time and things like that. And, you know, I excelled quickly because I was very innovative. So I didn't even really know that I had the makings of an entrepreneur, but my mother is an entrepreneur. So eventually I began to attain additional credentials. And I don't have the time because it's only 15 minutes to tell you about everything now. But if you go to my law office website, callrossiwilliams.com, callrawsiwilliams.com, you'll be able to just see all the credentials I attained over the years. And that's important because what happened is at some point I decided nursing is what I need to stay in, but it's not. I'm not happy with it every day. It's not working. I'm not working it. It's working me. I'm hating to go to work. So because I'm not being able to operate in my core, which is to go into a place, fix things. I'm not the person who's going to stay there for 10 or 20 years at one job. And for years, I thought something was wrong with me. Because what I do is these places would hire me to come in. Even as a director, you hire me to come in. I would go into the worst places to work. And I would thrive. My adrenaline would function. I would turn that place around, and then I'd be ready for the next challenge. Well, it took me years to understand that was my core. And when I understood that, then I understood where my office was in ministry, which I taught you about how to find your place in the spiritual component. Because you see, I wasn't the pastor who could stay with the people forever. My call of office spiritually was the evangelist. You come in, you inspire, you exhort, you help turn things around, and then I'm ready for the next challenge. Didn't mean I'm ready for the next church. I'm definitely not a church hopper. You know, I'm almost 50 now, and I can really count on one hand the number of churches I've been in since I became an adult. I really stay there, but I'm always looking for, okay, what's the next thing we need to be doing? Because that goes with my core. Well, that went with my core professionally. So what I did is I started consulting part-time, and then that grew to a full-time consulting business. I was consulting all over the state. And then I loved that, but you see how I had to get through those questions I gave you to find that place. Then my brother ended up being incarcerated. He went through a jury trial, and he lost. And the day that he lost was the day that I knew I needed to go to law school. So things changed.
And I went to law school and I became an attorney. But when I first started, I had to ask myself these questions because although I was being successful and I wasn't losing a case, I didn't have the joy I thought I was going to have. And really, again, it's because the career was working me, because I was taking on so many cases to help so many people pro bono or at almost no fee, that I was putting myself in a financial strain. I'm sharing this with you so you can see how transparent you need to be with yourself in answering these questions. But now that changed. Now I'll tell you, my mom almost whooped my bottom. She forced me to change it. My siblings, whom I love so much, they forced me to change it. My brother, my son forced me to change it. He's an adult, and he said to me one day, you know, Mom, I watched this show Suits, which I've never watched, but apparently it's about high power attorneys. And he said to me, I don't think I want to be an attorney because I don't see my mom living like that. Wow. And I had to remind them, but remember, son, I became an attorney to serve a very specific demographic and to give them to access to justice. But then I thought about that, but you know what? I can do that, but it still can't be to the point where it breaks me. I have to be able to love what I'm doing. And so now, through, you know, quite a few changes that I made and my best friends forced me to make, and they forced me to raise my fees, which are still not even comparable with the regular fees. My mentor attorney gets on me about this all the time, but now I'm able to live well. But I had to take myself through that process. So your final question, and I got to go into prayer and we got to end, is what am I going to do to get to where I love professionally and career-wise? Will you have to enroll in school? Will you need to attain additional credentials? Do you need to start looking at opening your own business? Do you need to look at going to another job? Because remember, part of your resolution also deals with your finances. You cannot stay in the same place, stagnant, broke, and disgusted, not able to laugh, meet your needs. Remember what I've taught you. Psychologists say that difficulty in sex, your sexual relationships, or finances are the two major reasons for divorce and depression. For example, here we are at Christmas. Do you have enough money to buy what you would like to buy? If you do not, let this be the last year that you find yourself in insufficiency and in lack. You're going to stop letting your career, your trade, your profession work you. And you're going to work through these questions and answer them. And you're going to change things in 2018. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We praise you right now. This is such a powerful word. Lord, our hearts have been pricked. Our minds have been stirred. We have been empowered by this morning motivation because it is forcing us to deal with where we are right now, that even if we are retired, did we spend 30 or 40 years doing what we love? And what are we going to do during this next phase? How are we going to focus ourselves professionally and career-wise? Are we to be a consultant? Are we to be a mentor? Are we to volunteer? Are we to open our own business now with the funds that we have? Are we to help fund our children's businesses? Are we to help and focus on our spouse? What are we to be doing now career-wise? Are we doing what we love, Father? Do we have a career profession? If not, why not, Lord? Help us, Father, because you've taught us to write the vision. Make it plain so that we can run with it. We can move forward with it. The fact that we are retired doesn't mean that our lives are over, doesn't mean that our goals are over, or the fact that we have retirement set up because maybe we're military or government or an educator doesn't mean that once we finish that career that it's over. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to be happy in what we do every day. We don't get but one life. Don't let us waste it doing time, Father, having a career that's like being imprisoned. Oh, we hate it every day. It's calling us. It's forcing us to get up to eat when it says eat, to go to sleep when it says go to sleep. But there is no joy in us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Father, to get this stuff right, because 2018 will be the beginning of the best days, the beginning of the best days, not the best days, but the beginning of our best days, the beginning of our best lives spiritually. The beginning of our best lives relationally. Hallelujah. Come on and praise God. The beginning of our best lives financially. The beginning of our best lives professionally. And the beginning of the days of our best lives career, health-wise and recreationally. We are going to be so new. We're glowing because we're joyful. We're not depressed. We're not sad. We're not abrasive. We're not caustic. We are just joyful. Hallelujah. 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 Our greater is yet to come. Our greater is yet to come. Our greater is yet to come. Because we live by faith and we've written the vision. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Come on and praise the Lord. I got to give you an altar call. Then your task for today, keep praising Him. Say, today is the beginning of the best days of my life. Say it again. Today is the beginning of the best days of my life. Now call out the names of your loved ones and speak it into the atmosphere for them in accordance with the fact that you have the power of life and death in your tongue. Call out the name of your spouse. Call out the names of your children and your grandchildren, your siblings, nieces, nephews, and friends, and just call their names and say, I declare that today it's the beginning, hallelujah, of the best days of your life. Hallelujah. Come on and say it again. Sean, Cholanda, Truman in Vegas, I declare that today is the beginning of the best days of your life. Those are my siblings. AJ, that's my son. Do you see what I'm doing? As I do the altar call, just speak it out. I declare, son, that today is the beginning of the best days of your life. Hallelujah. And to my mother, we celebrate her 70th birthday this weekend. I declare, Mom, that today is the beginning of the best days of your life. Now, I got some other people, but I'm going to call them out when I get off because I don't want to take up your time. But I got nieces and nephews, and I got aunts and uncles, and I got friends. I got pastors that I declare today is the beginning of the best days of your life. Hallelujah. If you are not saved, or you're backslidden, I got to bring you into the family of Christ. Please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent of my sin. Hallelujah. Keep praising the Lord, everyone. I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Our time is run. Make sure, let me give you your task for today, and then make sure you share this at feeldfire.com, FEELDFIRE.com. Your task for today is to answer those questions truthfully. Go to feeldfire.com and look at the template for what you're supposed, how your paper is supposed to look on the morning motivation page. This is the beginning. Stop letting your career work you. Stop doing that time, and you work it. Hallelujah.
I've been running ever since. It's been a long time
coming,
but I know
a change's gonna come.
Oh, yes it will.